premier temps qu'on peut avoir une histoire commune, mais cela ne garantit absolument pas un avenir partagé.
Bien sûr.
They're in the gold leaf chandelier drawing rooms of the Quai d'Orsay, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Hundreds of people are sitting on red velour pouffes or stretched out on the deep piled carpet, listening to French and foreign thinkers reflect on the challenges our modern societies are facing. They're chewing over the big questions like what kind of citizenship, healthcare, spirituality, justice, or climate we might expect or desire for tomorrow. Ever since the 16th century French philosopher René Descartes defined thought as the essential human quality, France has given a lot of value to ideas and given birth to some of the world's most influential thinkers, from Voltaire to Victor Hugo to Jean-Paul Sartre, Simone de Beauvoir, Claude Lévi-Strauss, Roland Barthes and Michel Foucault. France no longer has that influence, but the desire to think and value thought is as strong as ever. 15,000 people subscribed to the Nuit des Idées event, which was organised by the Institut Français. 4,000 of them were allowed in. The vast majority were people in their 20s. May I ask you why you came this evening?
To share some ideas of the future of the world and to be open-minded.
It's an exceptional idea, she says. The world needs something like this.
It's important to have debates every day. But we need not just to talk about our ideas, we have to put them on the field.
Put them into practice?
Yes.
What about the content of the discussions?
All
the subjects being discussed are topical and concern us all. The future of cities, immigration, economic problems.
I think it's really in our culture to discuss and to expose our idea and confront our point of view, which are really different, and it helps us to develop our own way of thinking, so it's really interesting.
People are asking themselves a lot of questions. They're looking for markers, says this woman, and we need material to nourish our thought. Unfortunately, we don't get that from television. We feel all alone. From 6 p.m. to 2 in the morning, people came to listen to around a dozen discussions, each one between a French and a foreign thinker.
As you can see here, there is no decline of the desire of talking, thinking and sharing ideas, especially young people.
Mathieu Pot-Bonneville, a philosopher with the Institut Français, helped curate the event.
I'm very proud of this result because our purpose was to show how in France there is a strong desire not only to think, but to think together and to open the discourse and the discussion with other countries, other points of view, etc.
The invited guests were not the usual suspects you find on French TV, the philosophers like Michel Onfray or Alain Finkielkraut, who've recently made headline news with hardline positions over his Islam in France, nor the suave-looking Bernard-Henri Lévy, BHL as he's affectionately called, who claimed he'd persuaded former President Nicolas Sarkozy to invade Libya and overthrow Muhammad Gaddafi.
Bernard-Henri Lévy, I'm sure that he's not here tonight. Instead, you have people like Bruno Latour, like Patrick Boucheron, like Pierre Rosanvallon, like Laurence Tubiana, who are thinkers of our times and real thinkers. I mean, they are not specialists, neither polemists. They make this path between the academic field to the public audience, and they are very interested in sharing their ideas not only with other specialists but with other disciplines. This is an interdisciplinary event, and with citizens. That's quite a French specialty, to have a relation, a strong link between citizenship and thinking or public debate, and we try to renew it and to show that it still exists.
In this day and age, we don't have another Michel Foucault, do we? We don't have a Deleuze, we don't have another Jean-Paul Sartre. So are you saying we've gone beyond the time when you had these great figures in philosophy, and we're moving towards more kind of collective thinking, people working in groups.
First, I think that Gilles Deleuze once said that if we know one thing about the future Proust or the future Beckett, it's that they won't look like Proust or Beckett. And we probably won't recognize them, because intellectuals of the future will be different. And I think that there will be collective intellectuals. Nowadays we have reviews, we have communities online that do real intellectual work. But without this star system, there was something of a star system in the 70s. I mean, Deleuze writes very interesting things about it. He says, well, okay, I'm pretty much a star. It's complicated for me to be placed in such a position, etc. That's not only a good thing for an intellectual to be very well known around the world. Sometimes you think you have to be a little invisible.
I think that many people are fed up, you know, with the dogmatism of the debate and are looking for not only new ideas, but more openness, you know. And they don't find that, you know, I would say, in the intellectual establishment, nor in the media establishment, you know.
That's political scientist Olivier Roy, an Islam specialist who discussed the future of spirituality here at the Nuit des Idées.
The debate on the TV are not soft debate, you know, it's white against black, black against white. And what I feel now, yes, and I see that by, you know, the impact of my paper, the articles, it circulates among a category of people who not necessarily agree with me, but wants to have a different way to look at the debate.
So intellectual life is not dead in France, far from it, but there is a kind of institutionalized intellectual life which is in crisis.
Yeah, I think there is a huge responsibility on my generation, either former leftists who became conservatives or who became politicians. We started, you know, in the 60s by advocating freedom of speech and so on and so, and we ended by being dogmatic, ideologically dogmatic. And I think that the new generation is fed up with that.
The discussions here were anything but dogmatic. Senegalese philosopher Souleymane Bachir Diagne exchanged ideas with Olivier Roy over questions of spirituality. Religion has had a bad press, but Diagne feels reintegrating the mystical into religious practice will help promote tolerance.
I do not believe in this disconnection between spirituality and religion, which we want to do now. People would say very easily, I'm a spiritual, but I'm not religious.
You cited the example of this girl who said she was Sufi, but not religious.
Not religious at all. And I don't think that that works. Because what is missing, I think, is the real connection that religions, different religions, are going to reassess with their own spiritual content, understand themselves primarily as spiritual traditions. In Islam, for example, that would mean understanding again the fundamental aspect of Islamic mysticism as something deeply rooted in the religion and the way in which the religion should be understood. Otherwise, you have some kind of petrified, normative religion which becomes very easily intolerant to difference.
Philosopher Sreko Horvat from Croatia was also keen to link ideas to actuality. However much he enjoyed the event, he couldn't resist taking a gentle swipe at the Quai d'Orsay itself.
I think it's a great idea. At the same time, we should also be critical, because in the time of terrorism, in the time of decline of democracy in the European Union, precisely this building as a symbol has also a particular responsibility. In the refugee crisis, in the wars in Libya, for example, which was revealed by Hillary Clinton's email, the particular role of France. So I think such an event like this one at the same time can serve the purpose of a rehabilitation of critical thinking.
Sreko Horvat, who was debating what kind of enlightenment we might hope for following the 18th and 19th century French movement, invited the public to be critical of that too.
My problem with enlightenment is that it doesn't take into consideration, first of all, desire, it tries to abolish desire, and I think desire is something which is a motivation not only in our daily lives but also a motivation for revolutions. There wouldn't be a revolution without desire from the October Revolution, but also to the Iranian Revolution, which prohibited desire in a way. But the biggest problem with Enlightenment is that actually it's a Western idea which positions the reason at the pedestal, and this reason, unfortunately, we can see it today, is the capitalist reason. And you had it already in the 20th century where, I mean, here I think Adorno and Horkheimer are still right. On the one hand, you have a technological development, which is a consequence of Enlightenment, but on the other hand, you don't have a development of morals. You don't have a moral system which is going hand in hand with the technological development. So that's the reason why in the 20th century you had Auschwitz, for example. This is the thesis of Adorno and Horkheimer. And I think if today we are promoting reason, Enlightenment as something which will bring Syria out of civil war or Libya and so on, we are actually moving into the same direction, and we have the consequence already. I mean, 1 million people who entered Europe last year, 1 million refugees who will enter Europe this year, are a consequence of capitalist reason. They are a consequence of so-called humanitarian interventions. They are a consequence of foreign policies of the enlightened countries who are now again trying to enlighten those who are outside. So in that sense, I think, yeah, we have to be pretty careful but also critical when it comes to enlightenment.
In the last discussion at 1 a.m, Taiwanese hacker Audrey Tang demonstrated how virtual reality technology can help us realize how insignificant we are here on planet Earth, and maybe worry a bit less about all the things even the thinkers don't yet understand. For 8 hours, people had opened their minds, let the ideas flow, and felt a little less prisoner to the anguish that's hit France and especially Paris over the last year. Paris now aims to export the Nuit des Idées abroad. Similar events are planned this year in 11 cities, including New Delhi, Beirut, Tokyo, Buenos Aires, and Stockholm. For RFI in Paris, I'm Alison Hurd.